Hello, this is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
I think we should now take our hymnals and sing another hymn. And if I can read my writing, I better check this. It's 226. Yes, 226.
Lift up your heart.
this morning I want to deal with that passage in 1 Timothy 3:16 that really covers the all groundwork of Christianity. And I'd like you to turn to the front of the hymnal to Roman numeral 12, for there is in that summarization of what the whole bulk of Christianity is about. But specifically, we want to talk about the Lord Jesus. And so if you will, with me, please, as you turn to Roman numeral 12 in the front of the hymn book, if you'll stand with me, and if you'll read with me the Apostles' Creed there in Roman numeral 12 in the front of the hymn book, if you'll stand with me, please. And I want us to believe these great, see these great truths, and then we'll pray the Lord's Prayer. So I always say treat every punctuation mark as a period. Let's try it that way. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now let us pray this prayer the Lord gave for his disciples, and they asked how to pray. This is, I believe, an outline or a summary of how to pray, but let's pray it. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Please be seated. Now then, hymn number 17. Hymn number 17. Ye holy angels. We're talking about angels this morning. They had seen the Lord and how they worshiped him. And so we're going to sing this hymn about the angels also. Number 17. Ye holy angels bright, who wait at God's right hand, or through the realms of light, fly at your Lord's command. Assist our soul, for has nothing to hide us, sing for mortal soul. Ye blessed souls at rest, who ran this earthly race, and now from sin release, behold the Savior. In a few moments, I want us to take a look at the Lord Jesus. And this next hymn, 217, should prepare us. Look, ye saints, the sight is glorious. See the man of sorrow now. It's 217 should be a fitting hymn before we study the Word of God. Let us turn, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and starting at verse 14. I realize that this is what we refer to as Memorial Day Sunday. However, we're not church calendar people. And I do want to make a few remarks, though, about this day and how this scripture does fit in with it. But primarily, I want us to look at the Lord Jesus. And in verse 14, we have, contextually, it has to do about the local church. And we're studying about the local church afresh, how it is, as it in the previous verses here, it says that it is indeed the pillar in the ground. And so we talked about that. But here, let us read the Word of God, or I'll read it. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. And Memorial Day is to be every day, thinking of our Lord Jesus. And Timothy, writing to a young preacher, not very old, he said to him, "These things write I unto thee, by the Spirit of God, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh," these six principles, "He's justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, and believed on and in the world, and received up into glory. Our Father, we are thankful this morning for the giving us the privilege of meeting in the name of Christ. And we're dependent upon that as we've prayed for your presence and blessing upon us. And we're asking indeed, Father, we might have your blessing upon us in not only hearing, but in the preaching. And that this may be the day indeed our Lord Jesus is honored, and that we might think of him more and more, And may we see the value for the local church to emphasize these grounded truths concerning Jesus Christ. So bear it home to our hearts. Help us to be attentive and alert. And we're thankful for looking upon us this past week and helping us. And we're thinking of this gentleman down in the Ocean's Atlantic City Hospital, recuperating from a severe heart attack. And as he was at work, Lord, and this happened to him and his wife with her cancer from up in this area, we pray for the Christ. Mark and Donna, for both of them. Now, Lord, you made them, and we don't know them, but request was made that we pray for them, and so we want to pray, and for you do answer prayer, and so we're looking upon, even as we see in our mind's eye, Mark there, filled with tubes, and having experienced an operation concerning his heart. Father, your presence and blessing be upon him, and how we would desire that he might know Jesus Christ personally, savingly, and his beloved wife, Donna. Thank you once again, Father, for the privilege of lifting up people in need. And so we lift up the needs of this couple, and we pray for our needs this morning also. You know us, and you know that our frame, and it is but dust. And so, Father, we need help. And those who are desirous this morning of wanting to live more like God, more like Christ-like, we pray your blessing upon them. And those who are indifferent, may they see the danger of nonchalantly looking at these spiritual things. Overrule and have your will, we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave his life for us. Amen. Now, this is a great passage. It's one of those 3:16 passages you're all familiar with. And I must say this to you. Some of us in this room are not militaristic. And some of you don't understand that. But some of you would have to say, well, so what? And my religion as a young man was patriotism. And I want you to know that. That was my religion. Not proud of it, but it's true. And so if I say to you that I have a modified position on this matter of war, a conscientious objector, a modified position. I'm not the same as the Mennonites or the Amish in this, but it's modified. So that doesn't mean anything to you, but it does to me. And I just want to say this in opening, because I am appreciative of being in this country. Now, I just want you to know that every year we honor the war dead. Now you say so. Well, we're talking over a million of the wars, starting with the Revolutionary War until our present day. There's been over a million young fellows, young women, young men and women that sacrificed their lives. Why? So some of us can sit here this morning and not be afraid that somebody knock that door down and shoot us. And we have the privilege of worshiping and assembling together and many things we can enjoy. So don't take everything for granted. Go over to China if you think it's all the way around the world or in some of these other countries. We're privileged. But I want to talk about the greatest soldier. Now, I want to share this with you. I shared it with Brother Leonard, but I went to the bank. A young lady was a teller there, and I said, do you read gospel tracts? She says, what? Do you read gospel tracts? She said, I don't know what they are. I said, well, they're gospel tracts of religious. She didn't know what a gospel tract was. Come on. A bank teller is not slow. She was in her 20s. Are we living in a country where they don't know what a gospel tract is? You say, well, there's plenty of churches, and they give out literature. Do they really? How come the local banker gal didn't know what a gospel tract was? Well, shame on you. Well, she's rather new, so don't jump on me altogether. And so I said, well, I'd like to give you one. Would you read? And she said, yes, I will. What's that have to do with anything? Well, we're living in a country. Do they know about the world's greatest fighter? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. That he came. So, he came. and did a battle, and that cost him everything. God in the flesh. He gave his life, and not just for this nation, but for his people. Remember him. Well, we have the Lord's Supper, preacher. Yeah, that's just it. We might as well go to the church counter and do like the church counter people do, just religiously do functional things. No. I normally don't give credit to men I don't particularly appreciate in many realms, but this week Rich Warren said to his congregation of 20,000, he said, "All you fake and passive Christians," he says, "take a hike." What? Take a hike. We want a church that really practices Christ. Now, I've preached that down to the years, and see what happens, Rich Warren, see what happens. You don't get many people if you preach the truth. But 20,000 people, he could say that. But I rejoiced in that he was able to tell them that. Take a hike. If you're a passive, fake Christian, we want to do business for the Lord. Anyway, the Lord Jesus, he set us as prisoners free. John McClain, they have some problems concerning John McClain. He said he knows more about prisoners that maybe still be in captivity in Vietnam or Viet Cong. He said, "Oh, come on." No, they're laying it all out. There are prisoners. And if you're outside of Jesus Christ, you're a prisoner of your sin. And you'll die. That's why the great warrior, triumphant captain, commanding officer of us, the Lord Jesus Christ, needs to be remembered. Not just today, but think of him often. Heaven's greatest soldier, the Lord Jesus Christ. He laid aside his home. These boys and girls laid aside their home. And he came. He came to this old earth. Let me tell you what this old earth thought about the God of heaven who came in the flesh. They didn't like him. They hated him. And it was it's an awful, dirty place. You say, "Oh, I think it looks pretty." Well, you'll see that behind the prettiness, there's wretchedness. And our blessed Lord gave his life for us wretched sinners. And so here we are. We can rejoice. That's your Memorial Day message, dear friends. Those of you who desire some kind of remembering, and I say it in gratitude, my friends, also. Don't forget to pass out literature. People don't even know about the Lord Jesus. I'm getting scared. You think this, we're a nation of Christians, you're back in first grade. Maybe not even that far. What a great passage in the Word of God this morning. You say, "I don't see it so great." Oh, we're talking about the local church being a pillar and a ground of truth, and the grounding truth, the church has to preach this. We preach Christ crucified. There's a lot of things you can preach about. Some of it is peripheral. Yes, there's important areas. But the thing that's most important is, it says, the greatest. The greatest thing is this. And there's no controversy about it. I'm looking at 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16. There is no controversy. It's beyond question. It's been proven it's beyond question. And that is beyond even our understanding. There is what is called godliness. And it's the mystery of it, the greatness of it, the importance of it, of being godlike. How you doing? You know, if you're of the disposition, "Hey, I don't really care that much about this business, this sin. I don't let it bother me too much. I'm not too interested. I'll come and hear you, but I'm just not too interested in this kind of stuff." I feel for you. You don't know 1 Timothy 3:16. I can tell you that. You may think you're a Christian, but if you don't know this passage and what it entails, you're not. I don't even believe you know the Lord. If it's just, "Well, I'm not too desirous of being holy." Hey, great is the mystery of holiness. The greatest thing of all is the mystery of holiness or godliness. Wow. What is this godliness?
What's so great about godliness, Christ-likeness? Well, it's a mystery. Now, this isn't like a mystery story that some of you might write or read. That isn't what the word means here. It means it's been opened up. It has been revealed. Previously, it was not revealed. Oh, there were nuggets of it, but now it's fully revealed. What's fully revealed? The mystery of godliness. And then it goes into our Lord Jesus. Great. How important this is. You say, I don't think it's that important. The Word of God says it's great. And it means it's weighty. This hidden truth that's now revealed concerning the Lord Jesus Christ is a very great truth. It's the grounding truth of the church. And if the church is not promoting this, something's wrong. There's a lot of good things to promote. And we have the Bible. Give the whole counsel of God. But this is the grounding truth. This is the pillar and the ground that upholds the mystery of godliness. Look back and I say, Adam, you messed up. And I'm feeling the consequences of it. So I might get hard on my grandpap. He said, yeah, I know. I blamed it on your grandmother. Yeah, I know, we do that. Don't tell me that, he said. But we've fallen in Adam. And we have the old nature. And we have the thought problem. We have the world to deal with, we have the flesh to deal with, and we have Satan to deal with. Adam, you screwed things up for me. He said, now, son, just don't get rattled here. There's something that's happened from the time of the fall. It's not all completely curtain, son. Just remember, there's been an area that's been down through the years, and now it's opened up. And I tell you, the answer to your fall, your falling condition, is Jesus Christ. Oh, really? I know about Jesus. You do? Then have another little review. Because I wonder if young ladies at the bank ever hear about the Lord Jesus from folk like us. You're going to stand before the hand of the Lord with your hands bloody? That you were more interested in making the money and doing other things than to talk about your commanding officer, the one who loved you and gave his life for you, came to this world, as it says, and there are six of these things. What are they? Oh, wow, six phases or six pictures of the Lord Jesus. And you know, this godliness also entails what the Christian life is all about. It has the idea of piety. And so it's been opened up. And so our theme. You know, when this was written, this was talking about the church at Ephesus. Timothy, you go take care of the church at Ephesus, Paul said by the Spirit of God. And when he went to Ephesus, the people would say, great is Diana of Ephesus! Great is Diana of Ephesus! And say, oh man, those pagans, they just shout this stuff, great is Diana of Ephesus! Paganism. And I believe Paul, by the Spirit of God, says, you know what we need to be crying out? That is, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, the Lord Jesus Christ. Great is the mystery of godliness, the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, do we proclaim it like the pagans? Like they did back in Ephesus about Diana? Now, don't get hard on me, but did you talk to anybody about the Lord this week? Well, I was pretty busy. You were busy. Well, welcome to our world. Does that exonerate you from not speaking up for the Lord? Maybe you don't understand 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. It is a common confession. It's really beyond our understanding, but the truth of the matter is it's a great unveiling of godliness. And if you don't have godliness, you don't have anything. And it says, first of all, of these six different, pictures of our Lord Jesus, the first one is this, that God was manifest in the flesh. I don't know if my recall is up to it, but there's a verse that I wanted to look at. Now, No, that's for, I don't want that book. I want this book. Yes. Hold on a minute. When I have to do something that's not written in notes, and I don't have much notes here this morning, you'll say, well, I can tell that. But anyway, about our Lord Jesus. Yeah, there it is. Verse 17 of chapter 1 of 1 Timothy. That's the verse I want. I didn't write it down, but there it is. And look at verse 17 of the first chapter of this book. 17, now unto the King eternal. Uh-huh. Immortal. What? Invisible. The only wise God. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. I should have known that quickly because it's on our stationery, that verse. Our church stationery. What's the word you want to see there? We're talking about the God himself. God is invisible. I want that one word there for you to see, invisible. But this first picture of Christ, he was made manifest. God became visible. Wow. He revealed himself. He took on himself human body. Now, friends, I don't know what your theology is. Do you think God is a grandpa up there sitting around in your gray beard? And he says, yeah, well, what do you need, son? You think God has a body? Some of you have thought that. You talked to me already. God has a body. God doesn't have a body up there. God is invisible. Nobody has ever seen God. Oh, yeah, but you're forgetting some great grounded truth here that you're trying to promote. Yes, sir. The first one is God. God. That is, Jesus Christ is God. Some people don't believe he's God. Did Jehovah's Witness knocking at your door? They don't believe he's God. The Mormons, they don't believe he's God. And the Christian Science, they don't believe he's God. This Bible says that Jesus is God. Verse 17, God manifested in flesh. If you have seen the Lord Jesus, you've seen God. But God doesn't have a body. He has arms and eyes. We speak of theopneusty, our God in the pictures of God. But God is invisible. But here, for the first time, whoo! I'd like to see the Lord. Look at him spiritually. Read about him in the Bible. Get to know this God who took upon himself human flesh. That is something. Really, really, did he do that? Yes, it's called the incarnation of God. God, we say, what, triune God? There's one God, yes. In three different persons, and you say, well, different offices. Say, hard to understand. Well, I'm not going to try to explain it to you this morning, but if you want to, you can study it for yourself. But anyway, you get the answer. Give me all the answers. Anyway, just think. For the first time, it's been revealed God. And he came. He took on as a little baby. He existed as John chapter 1 speaks it before even all the creation. God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, he existed, but he came and he took upon himself a human body. Pinch yourself. Well, yeah, we're talking about that. No mixture here. Didn't mix God. Didn't mix human. Now we got a God-man. No, God remained God, but also took upon himself human flesh by way of the Virgin Mary. See, I know these things. So do I. But the Word of God says you need to be grounded again and again. Hear a word and there were their word. You need to keep this in mind. People need to know how to be God-like. And it takes a new birth. They need to know about Christ. You say, that's first grade stuff. There are people who don't know about the Lord Jesus. Get to first grade, friends, if you have to. Well, I can't do that. I'm a college man. You're not much of a college man if you can't learn how to talk to people. Or a businessman. I can't. No, no, come on, come on. You say, Jesus is my Lord. He's my Savior. He has done it all for me that I might be saved. And I love him. I want to obey him. I want to be more like him. Good. Stick around. We'll study together. and try to work these things out by the help of the Spirit of God. A real man! That's what it means. God was appeared. He revealed himself. He became visible. He showed to us. God showed to us in the human flesh, in a human body. Real man and real God. Thomas, you better help us because some of us are a little slow. What do you want me to do? When you saw the resurrected Jesus, you were doubting. Yes, I had a doubter. When you saw him, what did you say, please? He said, my Lord, my God and my Lord. What? You looked at the resurrected Savior, and you as a doubter, you said, my God and my Lord. There was a, years ago, they had a deist movement. Oh, I believe in God. Yeah, I believe in God. So do the devils. The deists say, I would believe there's a God, but he's out working someplace. He's got this thing rolling, it's going on. The speaker, he used that scripture verse that he was rich, but he became poor. And they said, what? He's talking about the Lord Jesus, how rich he was, and he became poor. Now, when was the Lord Jesus ever rich? He couldn't even find a place for him to be born in a cow stable. And he was the poorest of poor. And how could you say he was rich and he became poor? Glory. He came down. He manifest himself. God manifest himself in human body. Oh, man. And he knows when you got a headache. He knows when you got a pain. He knows when you're troubled. He knows when you're discouraged. He knows all about you. He experienced all those things, yet without sin. He knows what it was to have pain and to be hated and to be slapped and to be spit upon. He was in the flesh. Now, I don't mean to pull on your emotions, but you just think about it. Put a nail through there, if you don't mind, and then hanging that nail hanging your body. Oh, no big deal. Friends, this is grounding truth. It's great. It's the greatest truth. Oh, I study philosophy. Yeah. People go to college, study philosophy, and they turn away from the Lord. You need to be grounded. Are you grounded? Are you hungry? Do you thirst after righteousness? Do you sit there and say, preacher, get on with it? I want to understand this. I am not come here just to be entertained. That's flesh. I come here to be spiritually taught. All right, here's the Word of God. The invisible God, the incarnation. Yes, we know about that. Good. What do you know about the second thing that is found in verse 16? What is it? It says something about being justified. First, God was manifest in the flesh. And secondly, there are six of these. He was justified in the Spirit. Justified in the Spirit. What's that word justified means? Well, theologically, just as if I never sinned. It doesn't mean that here. It has the idea of vindication. Vindication. That it's proven this is right. How do I know you know what's right? You may think you know what's right, but I'm telling you, the Spirit of God, it's capital letter S, it speaks of the Holy Spirit in 1 Timothy 3:16, justified in the Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit of God says, this is real, this is true. You may have all kinds of ideas about things in this life, I want to tell you something that's real. Go play with your little toys if you want to. Get something that's real. And the Spirit of God says, "This is I verify this is the Holy Spirit." Well, that's nice. I'm glad to hear that. Oh, I go back to Romans 1 and I say, I don't get it yet. You don't get it yet, huh? Well, in Romans 1, I'll read to you starting in verse 1. Paul, servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. That's what we are to be. Which God promised, which he had promised afore by the prophets in the old scriptures. What about it? Concerning his son Jesus Christ. That's what about it. our Lord. What about him? Which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh. Well, I guess we can understand that. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name's sake, among whom ye also the call of Jesus Christ. Well, that's good. Spirit of God makes that clear. It's true. Proven. It's right by the invisible Spirit of God. It's a spiritual vindication. Spiritual vindication. Well, what about the third one? That's the one I like to talk a little bit about angels. We have a lot of confusion about angelology. And 1 Timothy 3 and verse 17, we have this third picture that he was seen of angels. He appeared to angels. Well, you're heavenly beings. Why are you? What's so great about that? You're with the Lord. He said, we never saw God. What? You angels never saw the invisible God? We never saw God. Well, I thought you were in heaven. God is invisible, my friends. But now we see God. And he was seen of the angels. And so they said, wow. And when he was born, the whole host of them, you know, praising God from glory about this whole thing. They got excited about the Lord Jesus. You get excited about him a little bit? They got excited at his birth, yes, and during his life when he was suffering in the wilderness and under temptation, under pressure from Satan, they ministered to him. These angels, they said, this is really something. And we take it all for granted. It's in the book. Yes. And when he died at that tomb, they were there. And they announced the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. You folk think you got something gone, huh? You really think you got something gone? Let me show you. He's gone. He's resurrected. And they announced to the ladies that came, the women, clothed in man's poor, nature, yet without sin. You say, well, I don't think people pay attention to you. This passage says this. The Spirit of God will take the Word of God if you talk about the Lord Jesus. You want to talk about other things? It's easy for us to do politically, the weather, financial. We can like talk about those things. Our work. But if we talk about the Lord Jesus, even in these six pictures here, God says, I'll tell you, there's a mystery that will open up people's hearts. And you say, I don't know what did it. I can tell you who did it. The Spirit of God did it. You didn't do it. But if you talk about him, and we should talk about him more and more, the hymn says, when you talk about Jesus. Well, that's easy. Well, I ask you before you came this morning, how many people did you talk this week to the Lord, about the Lord Jesus? Oh, I gave him a gospel tract. Oh, I did that too. That's not talking about the Lord Jesus. Well, I'm glad you did. That's an excuse. I can't talk. I'm afraid, but I'll give him a gospel track. And I like gospel tracks. I'm looking for the best. Here's a good one. These angels were messengers, and they said, this is something. They said, I tell you, he was seen of the angels. The fourth one. Well, it said that he was preached unto the Gentiles. He was proclaimed. We're talking about the mystery, we're talking about incarnation, we're talking about vindication, and we're talking about exaltation. You say, where'd you get all those words? That's what it is, biblically speaking, for you theologues. Oh, yes. Yes, preached unto the Gentiles. Well, announced to the Gentiles. So, how much do you know of your Bible? What was the classification of Gentiles like you folk? Huh? How did they look upon you in the Old Testament, huh? Huh? Were you reputable? Hot shots? They said, no. Dogs. But nobody better call me a dog. I'm glad you're not back in the Old Testament days, because that's what Gentiles referred to as dogs, unclean. So what's exciting about this picture here? Well, they proclaimed to these Gentiles, that is, it actually means nations, all kinds of people, they announced it particularly to dogs, Gentiles. No, we're not dogs. Listen, I'm giving you a little history here. That's how they looked at you folk. But something has changed. Because of the mystery of godliness now, he arranged for, he sent apostles to the Gentiles, and the gospel was preached for the first time. For the first time. For people who didn't say it wasn't worth anything. But now these people weren't worth anything. They're getting the truth, this great mystery of our Lord Jesus, the mystery of godliness, and they preached it to the Gentiles. I know that bothered the Jews tremendously. But nevertheless, it still happened. The Gentiles, thank God, had heard about this mystery of godliness, our Lord Jesus. And you know what? The very next picture says he was believed. You see that word, believed? Believed on in the world. Ooh, that is all over the world. I can't understand it. They didn't like him. They hated him. They did all kinds of mean things. They mocked him. They scoffed him. They did all kinds of ugly things to him. They crucified him. And the devils, they were just pleased as could be that's the end of the story. It was just the opening of the story. The resurrection is coming up here. But oh, to think that the preaching, proclamation, and how does faith come? How do we get faith, friends? Faith cometh by hearing, by the word of God. You say, well, I'm here this morning. All right, you're getting the Word of God, and I don't know how it's going to work in your life, but I believe that I have confidence in the Word of God that's going to do something to you, and you need help, and I need help. And it's wonderful. This proclamation is believed. Oh, we read about no man can number them. Now, we got computers we can number. No man can number them. I don't care if you got a computer or not. That's how many people have believed. Aren't you glad you're a believer, friends? Hello? Aren't you glad that you're a believer in Christ? Thank you. I need some verification this morning. Some of you might have need a little more rest. Anyway, believed all over the world. Lovely. People went all over the world and they believe, and they still believe it. Don't give up. Still have confidence in the Word of God. Talk about the Lord Jesus more and more. Have confidence and they'll believe. Talk to some Gentiles. And oh, it is God that giveth the increase. No, we need powerful preachers and we need powerful church. No, it is God that giveth the increase. You just talk about the Lord Jesus and see what happens. And if somebody gets saved, don't forget, you have a responsibility of discipleship. Now, I don't know how I can work that in my schedule. If you make disciples, you got to train them, teach them. I'll bring them to church. Do that, please. But you've got a responsibility, too, like the AA. They look after their own. Christians don't even look at it. They say, you go to church of your choice. Raise your hand. You're a Christian. Number two. Number 1006. You treat your baby like that? Would you treat your baby? Have a baby and just let it go and say, yeah, somebody will take care of it. I don't have to worry about the baby. Take care of it. But that's the way we treat Christians who come to know Christ. No, you can't do that. Because they preach to the Gentiles, they believe, they put their faith, and we are to preach Christ and Him crucified, to preach to them, and we try to do that. And then the glorious, that's acceptance, proclamation, acceptance, and how about coronation? What? Received up into glory. He arose. This is Resurrection Sunday. Did you know that? We're here because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why we worship this day. That's why we're not Sabbatarians. This is the day which the Lord we commemorate. He was taken up. Who was? The God-man. He died, crucified, was buried in a tomb, and he was taken up. God took him up. Where'd you take him? taken back to heaven. Really? That's what it says here, verse 3:7-3:16. He was received up into glory. In heavenly glory. Back home. Oh, my. Away from this miserable place where people don't love Jesus and use his name in vain. Ungodly, disobedient, rebels, hateful. Some countries outlaw his name to be preached and taught. We're privileged again, may I remind you, though. Here we are, because of freedoms that we do have. And I know there's a lot of faults. But I want to say this to you and to myself. You say this country has a lot of problems. How much time do you pray for this country? Huh? Say, well, yeah, a bunch down there. Yeah, you pray? Maybe we need to pray more. Be grateful for what you have. Took him up. Was resurrected. And then ascended thereafter. And they were taken up in Acts 1 there, the angels, they stood there and said, what's the matter with you guys? Don't you believe the word of God? I thought the preachers were trying to tell you what the word of God is all about. Acts 1. Yeah. Well, so, yeah, that's a big deal. I wonder sometimes whether we think these things are big deals or not. Dear friends, we gotta sometimes put away some of these ideas we have and say, it's got to go back to the grounding truths. We need more of the grounding truths. This generation is ignorant. Well, in Acts 1, chapter 1, it says in verse 9, the Lord Jesus is saying about this, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both where? In Jerusalem, in Judea, and in the Samaria, and keep on going to the what? The uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. Who was taken up? Our blessed Lord Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, back, and revealed himself, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. I wonder who they were. You know who they were, the angels. What did the angels say? Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, the God-man, yes, this same, is he in the flesh yet? Yes, sir, glorified body. The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. I had a man knock on our door a morning. A farmer knocked on the door years ago. And I went there and said, hey, preacher, come here. I went out, see those clouds? He said, I just thought today, the Lord Jesus may come. Those clouds are beautiful. Can you imagine a farmer talking like that? He said, the Lord Jesus is going to come in clouds. When I look at a cloud, I like clouds. Don't you like to look at a cloud? I'm looking for some dark clouds to rain on my field. I need some moisture. But, oh, he said, these angels said to him, listen, what's the matter with you? Why are you standing looking up into heaven? He said, you know this same Jesus? The angel said, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come how? In like manner, as you have seen him go into heaven. He's coming back. He's not come back as a little baby. He's come back as judge. And every knee is going to bow. Who? Not Hitler. Every knee. Not Stalin. No. None of the... Yes! Every knee shall bow. Your friend doesn't have any time to have you talk about the Lord. He said, I don't want to hear that stuff. He's going to bow his knee. And you're going to bow your knee, and I'm going to bow my knee before this one. This, without any controversy about it. There's just no question about it. That our Lord Jesus, he's the greatest. He is the mystery of godliness. And it's been opened up to us. And we've looked at this very quickly this morning. You could take each of these great truths, like the incarnation and vindication, exaltation and proclamation, acceptance and coronation. And he's, just think of this. When you go to prayer and say, "Dear God, this situation is in need. Our blessed Lord is making intercession." He said, that Robin's down there. He's got the character. He needs some help. I'll listen to him. God listens to us. He's everywhere. God can't possibly listen to you and me at the same time, can he? God is God. He's everywhere. I would like you to be encouraged in these foundational truths. This is a grounding truth that the church, the local church, we must be at it. And it isn't boring to me when somebody talks to me about the Lord Jesus. I don't get tired of the old message. Do you really get tired of the old message of hearing about the Lord Jesus? You might if you get the idea that you've arrived. But I want to say this to you in all kindness. You scorn these great truths and you say, that's important. That isn't that. Hey, I don't think that's important. It's because if you look at it that way, you're proud. This is important, preacher. Hey, you're proud. This is what God says. And you're living dangerously if you look at this and say, well, it's not all that important. Oh, yes, it is important. And I want you to know this. You want any hope? Then it's Christ in you. The Spirit of God does this. Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, isn't that wonderful? And then if you have Christ in you, you do have God. And I want to get back to you. And we have angels about us. And they're concerned for us. I'm told that they're here this morning. I don't see any angels. You see angels around here? God says they're here. They want to see whether we really do talk about our Lord Jesus. And they love to hear about him. And they rejoice in heaven when one sinner gets saved. Maybe somebody here this morning that really has been passive or a fake Christian, and you need to know the Lord Jesus. Maybe you need to see that the secret here of knowing God is the Lord Jesus, and you need to turn from your sins and trust Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God speaks to our hearts. He's the one that does all this. Oh, but you know what? Shouldn't we sing 133? Why? Well, if we had 1,000 tongues. Well, if you got one tongue. No. If you have 1,000 tongues, Wesley said he would do this. He would sing My Great Redeemer's Praise. If he had 1,000 tongues, he would do it. He wrote this on his birthday one time. 133. This. Father, once again, we ask that your presence, blessings be upon us, and we believe that's going to happen, and it has happened. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And we're asking our Father that we might understand, even as in heaven, that there is those who are glorying, and they said, they said in heaven, a blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders, they fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever. May God's blessing be upon each of you. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.